Amen.
Hey, thank you guys for leading us in worship. So we got a little treat tonight. I'm really excited. Ethan is coming. He's going to preach tonight, and God's been putting some stuff on his heart, and it's been really cool to hear what God's doing in him. So Ethan's going to preach, so give it up for Ethan.
When Rob first gave me the opportunity to come here to give you guys a message, I didn't really know what I was going to preach on. And I was reading my Bible, and I was trying to figure out where exactly was like the pinpoint that God was trying to tell me to get for you guys. And James kept coming up as the main like place. And then in James 4, it really just like stuck to me, and it's been sticking to me for a while. So I want to be able to share this message with y'all. So, in James chapter 4, verse 1 through 10, it says, "What causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? You desire and do not have, so you murder. You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly, to spend it on your own passions. You adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you suppose it is to no purpose that the scripture says, 'He yearns jealously over the spirit that he has made to dwell in us.' But he gives more grace. Therefore it says, 'God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble.' Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be wretched and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will exalt you." So I read this, and for some reason, it really stuck with me. At first, I didn't really know what it was talking about, and I had to keep meditating on it, and I didn't really completely understand it. And the Lord is still like giving me pinpoints, little pockets of information about this, but I'm just going to read through it verse by verse and kind of give you what I'm taking up by this, because I think it's a message that God's trying to share, not just with me, but with y'all. It says, "What causes quarrels and what causes fights among you?" This is verse 1. Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? So this is saying that we know that it's our flesh that's causing war within us. It's this war between us, and it's the war between our flesh and the war between our Holy Spirit. So the passions that we have in our flesh are different than what the Holy Spirit wants for us. And sometimes this can look in like different ways. Maybe you're on the street and maybe you see a homeless person. Maybe God calls you to pray with that person. Maybe it's you need to serve that person. Maybe it's that certain aspect of you that you need to change. Maybe you keep looking at women with lust. Maybe you keep desiring something that's other than God. Maybe you keep not being able to hold your tongue. Maybe it's something like that. And so you know that your passions are at war within you. And what you want is not what God wants. And that's just your nature, because we are all born with a sin nature. And then verse 2 goes into saying, "You desire and do not have, so you murder. You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel." This is saying that we have envy towards others, and so we murder. And maybe murdering isn't even like actually killing someone. Maybe you just get angry with a brother. Because in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus talks about if you get angry with your brother, you commit murder in your heart. So maybe it's you have envy towards that person. Maybe it's because you keep asking God for this thing, but you see other people gaining it, and you're questioning God, and you're asking God, "Why am I not obtaining this?" And so into verse 3, it talks about, "You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly, and you spend it on your own passion." So it goes from verse 2 where it's talking about what you do, and then verse 3 talks about why you do it. Maybe you're asking God for something, but maybe you're trying to spend it on your own passions. Maybe you're asking God for that relationship, but God's telling you that you don't even know how to love yet, so how can I give you a relationship? Maybe you ask for a relationship, maybe God's saying, "You can't even build a relationship with your parents. How are you supposed to do it with somebody else?" Maybe it's, "I want to have peace, God," but you still hold bitterness towards that one person that's done you wrong. Maybe Maybe you want to be able to live life without worries, but then you go out and you make trouble with others by saying things that you shouldn't have. And so it says, you ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly, because we spend it on our own fleshly passions instead of the glory of God. And then verse 4 goes into, you adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with the Lord is enmity with God? So this is talking about how when we dwell with the Lord, it automatically disrupts the world because God's way is better than the world's. This is saying that like the world, if we try to live in the world and not try to live with God, then we're going to end up falling to the world. When we make a friend of the world and not a friend with God, then we don't not only hurt ourselves, but we're hurting God's image. Like when we curse and when we speak things that we shouldn't have, and we maybe even like talk things that we shouldn't have to people, and we're just rude, that's not representing God the way he wants us to. It says, therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. So if you want to be a friend of the world, then you can be a friend of the world, but you're going to make yourself an enemy of the most high God. If you would just submit your life to God, you would automatically see God's attributes coming off of you. And that's a way to tell if God is really with you. Verse 5 talks about, or do you suppose it is to no purpose that the scripture says, he yearns jealously over the spirit that he has made to dwell in us. This is a verse that, I'm not going to lie, I read it the first time, and I didn't completely understand what it was talking about. And I honestly don't think I fully understand what it's talking about. Because it says he yearns jealously over the spirit that he has made to dwell in us. And I wasn't sure if it was talking about the Holy Spirit, if it was talking about just ourselves, like our own, like our being that God has given us. I don't know if he's yearning. I think, in my opinion, that this is talking about that God yearns for us to choose the spirit over our flesh. I think he's saying that he yearns for us to choose to submit to the spirit instead of submit to our flesh and let our flesh overtake us. Because then in verse 7, it says, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So it says, it tells you what God wants. He yearns jealously over you to choose your spirit. And then it says, when you do submit your spirit to God and resist the devil, he will flee from you. So God's not only saying that this stuff will happen, but he's saying that when you do this stuff, he's giving you power over your fleshly desires. So it's not like, God, I can't overcome this because it's too strong. No, like God has given you the power to do it when you believe and submit to him. He said, I can't ignore verse 6. So verse 6 says, he gives more grace. Therefore, it says, God opposes the proud but gives grace for the humble. So when we ask God for something, we need to ask him with the heart of, for your glory, God. We need to not ask it for what do we want in our own passions, but we need to ask for it to be beneficial to God. I feel like a lot of us, and myself included, have found ourselves like having faith in God, but we don't want to put our faith into practice because we're so embarrassed and maybe we're scared about what will happen to us. But verse 6 says, God opposes the proud, gives grace to the humble, and then it says, submit yourselves therefore to God. So he's telling us that if when we submit ourselves to God, he's going to when we humble ourselves before God, he gives grace to us, and he's going to uplift. Because in verse 10, I'm going to go down to verse 10 now. I'm jumping all over the place, but it says, humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will exalt you. So it's saying again, like when you humble yourself before God and you choose God's way over your own way, it might not look like it, but you're exalting yourself by doing that. God's going to exalt you. And it's not you that's doing that. You're not exalting yourself. It's God exalting you. It's God coming off. It's Jesus coming off of you. That's how we are to live. Verse 9, be wretched and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. And this is I think this is talking about our battle with our flesh. Like a lot of the times, we like to enjoy life and we like to just live out our life. But if we were really battling our flesh, it would like make us mourn and weep. Like, it's so, battling your flesh is so difficult. And by yourself, battling your flesh by yourself without the Holy Spirit is even more difficult. It's actually impossible, but let our joy be turned to mourning. That's what I want to say. And then I'm going to go down to James 4, 13 through 16. Because we know what we're supposed to ask of God and the heart posture we're supposed to ask him out of it. But I think a lot of the time we kind of don't make time for God, and we try to put our own desires over what God desires for us. And so I want to go to this. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we'll go into such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, he will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. So whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him is sin. Maybe you know what you need to do. Maybe you're in this room tonight and you know exactly what you need to do. Maybe God's given you that calling, but you're scared tonight because you don't know if it really is from God or if it's just your own overthinking. I want to tell you tonight that thing that God wants you to do, he wants you to do it tonight. He doesn't want you to wait because you're just like a mist. You're there for a second and gone the next. That decision that God wants you to make, he wants you to make it tonight, tomorrow. He wants you to make it now. He wants you to make it right now. He doesn't want you to wait. He doesn't want you to wait. If you wait to be ready, it's never going to come to you. Hell is filled with people that call themselves Christians that said, I wasn't ready. They spent their whole life waiting to be ready when you're never ready. You think Moses was ready when he was called by the burning bush? You think Jesus was, I'm sure Jesus was ready. But you're sure that all these people that were called were ready? They weren't ready, they just chose to obey it. So, I just wanted to share that with y'all. I wanted to share with y'all to not boast about tomorrow. Because we don't know what tomorrow's going to live. And I think a lot of us in this room are boasting about tomorrow. We're boasting about, oh, well, next year I'll be in college, you know. Maybe you're a senior and you're saying, next year I'll be in college, or next year I'll be doing this and that. And I'm scared about how I'm going to make money and all this other stuff. But Jesus is telling you, like, if you abide in me, you shouldn't be scared about that. And you don't even know what tomorrow's going to bring. Your joy shouldn't be found in the hopes of tomorrow. Your joy should be found in the hopes for eternity. That's what I wanted to share with y'all. There's one more thing I wanted to share. Was it? This is my favorite verse. It's verse 1. It's James chapter 1, verse 2 and 3. I just talked to you guys about doing that thing that God's called you to do. And James chapter 1, verse 2, it says, count it all joy, my brothers, and when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. This is saying, like, you shouldn't be worried about that thing that God's calling you to do. Count it joy when God's calling you just to do it. And count it joy whenever it's difficult to do it, because God's going to produce steadfastness in you. And you might not see it now, but God's going to build that in you over time. The more you listen to his voice, the easier it's going to get to listen to his voice, and then it's going to produce steadfastness in him. So that's pretty much all I had for you. So let me just pray it out for y'all. Dear Lord, I thank you for this day, Lord. I pray, Lord, that these people tonight, Lord, they would just open their hearts to you, Lord. That thing that you're calling them to do tonight, Lord, I pray that they would just submit themselves to you tonight. I pray they wouldn't wait for tomorrow, Lord, or next year, or next month, Lord. I pray they would just submit themselves to you tonight to do your will, Lord, not their own passions, Lord. I pray that we'd remove our passions from ourselves and just do your will day in and day out, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. It's in your name that I pray. Amen.